Welcome to Word on the Street. This message is brought to you from Heart of the City in downtown Anchorage, Alaska, and is made possible by our generous City Light partners. Become a City Light partner by downloading our app or visiting us at heartofthecityak.com. And now, here's today's message.
Okay, you ready? I feel like I have a message from God for you. I really do. I mean, as I pray and I work these things out, I felt like, especially during this one, I was straight up carried along. Yeah. I was carried along, and it is controversial, and I got attacked after I did the first one, and here we go. You ready?
Yeah.
Praise God. I never did sign up for this so that everybody would like me. I signed up for this because I love God, I feel the smile of God, and I care about what He said. Like straight up, like just straight up. And there comes a point in your life. There comes a point in your life where Jesus Christ just fills this place in your heart where you just feel like you're approved of, and you feel like you're okay, and you feel like you're loved, and you feel totally content. And a lot of times, if you don't have that, what happens is you end up searching for that approval in all these other ways. And you end up compromising, and you end up... And so if I didn't have that, I would probably stand up here, and what I would end up doing with that void is I would try to get to saying stuff that you would like so that you would like me. And that's... You'll understand after I get done with this that you won't like me very much. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Hopefully, my biggest thing is all I want to do is just clear a way to Jesus for you. Like, all I want to do is just make sure that there's nothing in your way between you and God. And that you don't have a whole bunch of physical hang-ups and a whole bunch of strongholds and a whole bunch of things that are weighing you down that makes it so that you feel like you don't have any access to Jesus. That's the whole idea of this message. Okay? So, I mean, if you can hear that, if you can put that sort of in play as I talk about what I want to talk about today, then I think we're all going to win. Why don't you all stand up for the reading of the word? I took this from Ecclesiastes. Sorry, I made you stand before I explain what I'm doing. We're in the, just stay up with me, it's only two verses. We're in Advent, and Advent is 4 weeks of themed Christmas stuff. That's traditional. The theme of this week is love. By the way, simultaneously, we're in the book of Ecclesiastes. And so what I've done is just taken the theme of love and said, hey, what does Ecclesiastes has to say about this? So today we're taking from the book of Ecclesiastes this theme of love. And I feel like I have something to share with you from the heart of God, okay? So that's the heart from this, or where this is from. So I got hung up on this verse when we're talking about love. And it's verse 25 out of chapter 7 from the book of Ecclesiastes, and it says this: I turn my heart to know and to search out and to seek wisdom and the scheme of things, and to know the wickedness of folly and the foolishness that is madness. Verse 26, here's what I found. It says, I find something more bitter than death. Paraphrase, or in parentheses, and it has to do with love, or what I think love is. I find something more bitter than death, the woman whose heart is snares and nets, and whose hands are fetters. He who pleases God escapes her, but the sinner is taken by her. You can be seated while I pray. Lord, I am asking right now in the name of Jesus that this message would be very clear, that it would straight up break strongholds, that it would cast out demons, like it would actually cast out spirits from our house, from our church. I'm asking, Holy Spirit, that there would be a certain appeal by you to holiness and purity and prudence and true beauty, God, that you extend before us and that you define and that we don't, and we don't let society define for us. So I'm just asking, Holy Spirit, that we would get a real clue to where our joy really lies, where our life is really hidden. And so in the name of Jesus, I'm asking God, tear down strongholds, tear down principalities, tear down powers in the name of Jesus Christ and set us free. Set us free in this place. Set every woman free in this place. Set every man free in this place. Help us just deal directly with you, God. Make a way in. make a way in right now, Holy Spirit. And I'm asking right now in the name of Jesus that any bitterness would be gone, that any contempt would be gone, and that we would be able to hear each other with a heart of compassion and love. Because you can do that, God. You can take hard truths and make them very deeply meaningful and impactful. So do that now, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Okay, so we've talked a lot about love at HOTC. If you want to hear more on it, we've got sermons on it. I can give you whatever transcripts you'd want. But today I want to talk about love in terms of how Ecclesiastes puts, how this verse puts it. And what, here's the deal. You with me? You not sleepy? You're here to hear from the Lord? Okay, so here's what I want to do is I want to talk to a certain group of people, and it's the voice in which this scripture is written in, and it's actually like a father to a son. Okay, that's who I want to talk to. Now, what's going to happen is you're going to be like, man, this is such a one-sided, this is such a, it's such a hard sermon for us to hear. I'm talking, basically what I want to just say is I want to put a disclaimer out there and say, this would be best heard at a men's group. But we're giving you ladies an opportunity. We're giving you ladies an opportunity to kind of get in on what, how we think and how we need to be talked to.
Yes.
Okay? So don't get all mad and be like, these guys are bigots and hate women. That's not what we're doing. We just need to have a voice with the young men for a second. Can you give me that?
Yeah.
All right. Ladies, you're probably going to hate this sermon.
They'll be all right.
Be okay. They'll be all right. If JoJo's there, everybody cool. All right. Here we go. So I got to set that up because, man, I mean, it was like, well, that was the most imbalanced sermon I ever heard. Well, that's, it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be, guys. We need a moment. So here we go. Done apologizing. Here's my title. Here's the idea. Love, Advent, young men, I want to talk to us today about what you're not looking for when you fall in love. What you're not looking for, bro. Okay? So here's my title. Clues on who not to pursue in Advent. In this magical season of Advent, when love is in the air. Here's my subtitle. While on the prowl, learn to throw in the towel if she is foul. Even better. Derek taught me that. Hey. Should I read it one more time? It took me 45 minutes to come up with that, with a thesaurus and the rhyme zone. While on the prowl, and that's all right to be on the prowl, young man. While on the prowl, learn to throw in the towel if she's foul. The writer of these verses is really saying stuff. He's coming across like a father to his son. He's saying, man, you got to have wisdom, man. You got to have wisdom when you're working with these ladies. Nobody understands how they think. Heard that? Come on, JoJo. Amen me right now. Amen me right now. Okay. She'll amen me all these other times, but not when I say that. All right, you got me. Okay, look. He's saying like, son, I love you, man. I want you to get this right. There's some things we got to talk about.
That's right.
There's some types of women that actually exist.
Yep. Sure.
That I got to level with you about. And it's going to be hard for the women to hear this.
No, it's not. They'll be all right.
Okay. But I want you to be wise, man. Look, son, come here. If there is a scheme of things, if there are schemes out there, I want you to know their wickedness. I want you to know their folly. I want you to know their foolishness. I want you to know their madness. And I got something to tell you today about love, about how you fall in love. I want you to be wise. And he says, here's something that's going to keep you really, really wise. This will be clutch in your pursuit. And he goes straight into something that he's absolutely emphatic about. Something that he says is more bitter than death. The woman, the woman whose heart is snares and nets and whose hands are fetters. Fetters are like iron clasps to a chain. I'm going to read it again. Verse 26, and I find something more bitter than death, son. Come on, listen. I got to talk to you about this. The woman whose heart is snares and nets and whose hands are fetters. He who pleases God, though. He who pleases God escapes her. But the sinner is taken by her. First thing I need you to see, young man, is that men are attracted to women. Amen. Thank you. Men are attracted to women, but watch out for the type of woman who capitalizes on that. Okay? Because it becomes her power when she knows what she's got. Badonk, donk, donk.
Speak, Lord.
Speak. The point. Here's the point. Here's where we got to start with. You got to start with this, son. Listen. The initial attraction is good. It's good. No, that's good. You should like that. But the initial attraction can mean more than you know. And you would do well to ask yourself, what is it? What is it about her that you're actually attracted to? That's what you got to start with. I got to talk to you, kid. The point. Initial attraction is good. Yes, but it can mean more, right? Because the truth that I know because I'm so wise and I've been married so long and I've known all these women. The truth is that you don't have to be initially attracted to somebody in order to eventually love them. That's the truth. You don't actually have to have the initial attraction in order to love somebody. And in fact, if there is an initial attraction, you should check it. You should check it hard. And here's why. Here's why. Son, come here. Listen, right on my lap. Right here. Not Santa. Here's why. I don't know a whole lot about snares. Have you looked up? Have you studied snares? If you look up snares, you're going to realize, especially in the Hebrew, every single word, especially this word that's used as this woman who has this snare, it carries with it this idea that there is an attractant. Okay, there is an initial attractant in the snare. Okay, something that the animal is actually searching for, that is placed in such a way that the animal cannot help but be oblivious to the danger that is pending. Okay? That's what a snare does. The snare would typically just be a wire or a string that's barely noticeable, and it's attached to a preloaded arm. These women have a preloaded arm. They do. Just put that in your spirit and pray on that. And then the animal, once it gets more comfortable and preoccupied with what it is consuming that originally attracted it, bam! It's caught up by its neck in a noose.
Yes.
Or its feet, it's caught up. Mm-hmm. And then the real person who set the snare would come out.
Right now.
Big knife. Got him. And devour the dangling, trapped human. Snare. That's the picture of a snare. That's why this is written in the Bible. I didn't make it up. All I did was meditate on it for a second ago. I think this is probably the best way to explain this to these guys. That's all I did. That's all I did, I promise. This is saying that there are women out there who are only interested in seeing if they have what it takes to capture you. Straight up.
Yep. Amen.
They care nothing for your heart. They care nothing for your life. They care nothing for your future. It is a power thing for them. And they hurt people, and they are absolutely beautiful. Beautiful. So be careful with your initial attraction. Here's another clue of what not to pursue. It's the net. I think of a fishing net. When I think of a net, if you're caught up in a net, it's different than being caught up in a snare. Are you okay?
Yeah.
Okay. A net typically is not pulled up until there are multiple people caught up in it.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Chances are, here's why I'm saying this. Chances are, we're talking initial attraction. Chances are, what is working for you is working for all the other guys in the room as well.
Yeah. Right?
Right? Okay, so here's what I want to say. Gentlemen, if you find yourself in a situation, did you know that if you're in a net and there's a whole bunch of like other people around, like if there's a whole bunch of people crashed in on you, you're in a net.
Yeah.
Right? Like fish are like just, they're like, have you ever, just think about it. Right? Like you're trapped in a net. Okay. Listen, if you find yourself in this is the inference. If you find yourself in a situation where there are multiple guys going for the same woman and she's doing nothing to shut it down, you're being caught in a net.
Yes.
And it says in the Bible that that is more bitter than death. Okay? If you have a relationship with a woman and you know somebody else is pursuing her and she's not doing anything to shut that down, she says stuff like, well, I just keep my options open. I don't know. I'm not sure. Here's my loving, pastoral, Solomon, Quahella type advice. Shut it down right now. I believe that's what, I mean, there's the inference there. If you're caught in a net, cut your way out of it. Here's a couple ways to shut that down. You want my just sort of loving advice?
Bring it.
Two ways you can shut that down if you are caught in a net and you are straight up getting played. Which eventually turns into being more bitter than death, gentlemen. You just say, like I did. Not that my wife was ever a player. But I need to push her to make a decision. And I said, hey, you want to be with me? You be with me. You cut off all of this other whoever relationships are, and you're with me. That's what I said to her. And that was like the sexiest thing I ever did. She was like, dang, I like that. This guy's got confidence. That's sexy right there. That's how you do that. You say, you know what? I'm not the type and quality of man who gets played. I want to give you everything I've got, and you should be giving me everything that you got. And she said, well, you know, I know that if I do that, you're going to ask me to marry you. And I said, well, that's a chance you have to take. Right? I'm in this for keepsies and realsies. I'm not the punk who gets played. Right? There's a dignity to this, gentlemen. Here's the other part. Here's the other way that you actually can shut down the net or cut your way out of the net. Just straight up answer the phone when she calls. And I don't mean to be crude, but you're the booty call at this point.
I know that's right. You better preach. You better preach.
Welcome to Heart of the City. I'm just talking real with you right now. Look, whenever she calls, get my wife out of your mind right now, okay? But whenever she calls, you say this. Don't ever call me again. Whoa.
It's hard, but it's right.
You do it. You do that. That's how you not get played. That's how you cut yourself out of the net. That's how you not get trapped in her web.
That's right.
Okay. Is that too harsh?
No.
Okay, I mean, you can go ahead and go on and look for love in all the wrong places, and if she's foul, you can go ahead and not throw in the towel if you want. I'm trying to help you cut out the net. Check that initial attraction. Check that initial attraction. Check that initial attraction. Check that initial attraction. Let's say it together. Check that initial attraction. Check that initial attraction. Because if you walk out of Ecclesiastes and you start taking a stroll through Psalms, Proverbs, it gets real. There's a reason why there's an entire chapter written on a promiscuous woman. There's a reason why there's an entire book called Hosea. And I'm not trying to pick on ladies right now. I'm just trying to say, hey, look, there's a reason for this, y'all. We got to at least look at this when we're looking at love in Advent. And we're looking at Ecclesiastes. I love this one. Check that initial attraction. Proverbs 11 verse 22 says this, like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman without discretion. That's what this says. Look, 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 look. Like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman without discretion. And discretion doesn't mean like I can't make a decision. It's not that. Actually, the word discretion there is actually means makes good judgment or is in control or has character.
Yeah.
Okay? Like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman that doesn't have any character.
Yep.
Wow.
Okay. Now I got some real clarity on this week. And all I did was actually just read it. And then I think the best way to interpret scripture is to read it. There are commentaries out there. There are people who preached on it. I listened to Tim Keller preach on it. And it was there was some help in commentaries. And there was some help in listening to someone preach on it. But you know what helped me most? Is just meditating on it. Just getting it in here and going, what does this mean? What does this mean for our body? What does this mean for our people? What does this mean for people who are in this moment right now in their lives where they're looking for love during Advent? And here's what I came up with. I just took it way too far. You ready? This verse points out two beautiful things. Things that are attractive. One, a gold ring. That's attractive. Amen? And two, the beauty that a woman possesses is attractive. Am I right?
Yes.
Okay. Both speak to that initial desire or craving in a man. The gold ring is likened to the woman's beauty. But the pig is likened to the rest of her.
Wow.
Okay? Here's the problem in America. We look at beauty and we say, that is most of what she is. We look at beauty, we look at the initial attraction, and we say, that is most of what she is. And this is saying, no, it's not.
Yeah.
No, it's not, bro. This says there's actually something very mesmerizing about her. Very desirable. Much like a gold ring. Nice and thick and beautiful and shiny. The problem is, when you go and you reach for it, there is a pig attached to it.
Yes.
Yes. Dang. Oh, snaps. There is a pig attached to this gold ring. Now look, this is not saying that all beautiful women lack character. Do not do that. There are so many actually beautifully gorgeous looking women that are 100% have character and they're wonderful. And just because a woman is beautiful doesn't mean that she lacks character, okay? That's bigoted. We're not saying that. That's stereotype. That's garbage. This is actually saying there is such a thing. There is such a thing in this world, young men, as a woman who is irresistible. I mean, she is like drool beauty, right? Like, oh, and simultaneously hideous and horrible and sloppy. If that's the inference of the pig. This is pointing to her character, her nature, her heart. That's going to be your problem. You can try to get that pig to sit still. You can try to get that pig up on your lap. You can try to feed it. You can try to take it around with you. You can try to get your friends to like it. But pretty soon you realize that gold rings are nice and all, but not when they are attached to a pig. The proportionate disturbance to the value of the ring is just not worth it, gentlemen. This is the exact same thing as saying being with a beautiful woman without character is a complete nightmare. Watch out. Again, the character is likened to the pig. It's the main part, the big part. The part to really consider, not the looks. And here is why I say that. 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 Because, gentlemen, you may be passing by women who you think are pigs because of the way that they look. But yet they are solid gold. And the danger is that in America, in us, we may be so fixed on the gold ring that you just go for it. You just go for it. When you really should have, when you saw that gold ring, you really should have maybe asked some questions and not just fell for the beauty, not just fell for the gold ring. Very, very base, simple stuff like, so why does she snort and clack her mouth? Wow. Why does she come home all dirty and smell like that? Why does she have a cloven hoof? Why, when I touch her back, it's like bristles or wire? Wow. I'm picking up on something here. Just ask some questions. Perhaps she is something that I'm not actually admitting that she is. Huh. If it smells like a pig and looks and acts like a pig, it's a gold ring. Get honest. What this is saying that is honestly that looks are the least of your problems. What this is saying, I think that this is inferring that most of who she is something that you can't handle or don't want to handle. In fact, this is saying that the natural things about her right now, until she comes to Heart of the City and gets saved, most of the natural things about her right now are just really undesirable. She's a power-hungry woman. Most of the things that are natural about her are the things that are undesirable. The things that she puts on are the things that you like. And one morning, she's going to walk out of the bedroom having not put that ring in her nose, and you're going to realize what you have in your house.
Wow.
Bring her to church. Bring her to church.
That's right.
God makes sheep out of goats. God makes sheep out of pigs. God makes sheep out of wolves. Praise God. Sometimes he does just shoot the wolf and slaughter the pig, but other than that, I'm just kidding. The big idea is, come on, guys, you think you know what you're doing, you know, you think you got it all figured out or whatever, you think you have control of this, I would just say think twice. I'm just trying to put some pause in your life. The Bible is very, very clear here. There is such a thing as a beautiful woman out there that will tear your house apart, and she will be an embarrassment to you, and you will end up having gotten yourself into a situation that looks more like feeding a pig than loving on a wife. I think we just need to say that. That's actually a possibility, guys. Now, I want to go into something that's actually terrifying. Can we do that?
Yeah.
Will you walk with me into this?
Yeah.
And I'll try to be as gentle and as redeeming as I can be. But we're just having a little men's meeting. Ladies, you all right?
Yeah.
You okay? You sure?
Yeah.
Okay, there is so much voice, there is so much rebuke on men through the Bible. It's on and on and on and on and on and on and on. But there are things about women too. My wife, like last time, she said, you need to balance out that sermon a little bit and just tell them where you're going with this. Okay? It's your turn. It's your turn. And I'm not saying that vindictively. I'm not saying that angrily. I'm not saying like I finally get my chance. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. But we all get our turn.
Yes.
To at least learn something.
Yeah.
I'm not even talking to the ladies. I'm just talking to the men. But they're going to infer meaning. Proverbs 5, my son, this is what it says, my son. So this again is to young men, this is to young men. My son, I need you to be attentive to my wisdom, incline your ear to my understanding, that you may keep discretion, and your lips may guard knowledge. So it starts with that same desire that Ecclesiastes start with. My son, I want you to have wisdom. Check this out, verse 3. For the lips of a forbidden woman drip honey. The lips of a forbidden woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. She'll talk you into anything. Now, I have to stop right here and just add a comment. A forbidden woman is a woman who is off limits. We know that, right?
Right.
A forbidden woman is a woman who's actually off limits. What makes a woman forbidden? And now look, that's a question, but I don't want to just say forbidden as if like off limits. I want to say forbidden as like, we're not talking preference here. We're talking like 10 commandments forbidden. We're talking like fabric of humanity and what procreates the human species forbidden.
Yes.
We're talking about straight up humanity. Mm-hmm. We're talking about life and death here. We're talking heaven and hell forbidden.
Yes.
Not just, well, this is a lady I shouldn't get involved with. This lady I can't get involved with.
Amen.
I will not. What makes a wooden woman forbidden? Everything. That's gross. You will not touch a wooden woman. You heard. Sorry. You just got to go with stuff like that. What makes a woman forbidden? Question. In this day and age in America, absolutely nothing. What makes a woman forbidden? Nothing. Problem? Women know it. Women know that nothing makes a woman forbidden. Now, I want you to look at the heading that's over Proverbs 5 in your Bible. If you have a King James, if you have a New King James, if you have an NIV, if you have an ESV, I need you to look at the title that's over chapter 5 in Proverbs. And it says this, warning against adultery. It's what it says in all of the Bibles, except for the NLT. They just say like promiscuous woman or the message. I don't even know if it says it. I'm just kidding.
Get it.
What makes a woman forbidden? Young, dearly loved men, my son, I need you to have wisdom. I need you to listen to my wisdom. And I need to talk to you about an adulterous woman and how she acts and how she thinks and what she's really after for your wisdom's sake. So here, first easiest point, the first easiest inference to make is, young men, the most anti-wisdom thing you can do. Actually, in other words, I'll just put it in really plain language. The stupidest thing that you can do is get yourself involved with a married woman. Can you hear that, guys? And I know some of you are involved like that right now. And I'm just saying, don't be a fool. And women, I'm going to take an opportunity to say, the stupidest thing you can do is get yourself involved with a married man. Don't be an idiot. Is that too?
No.
Okay, thank you.
No.
Just say to myself, I'm acting like an idiot. I got to call this guy right now. You know what? I'm never going to call him again. Change my email, I'm going to change my phone, all that.
Right.
Yeah. This is true wisdom from the Bible.
Yeah. Yes.
This is true heart of God wisdom for you.
Yeah.
But we're talking to men. And there is such a thing as an adulterous heart in a woman. Yes. And you can read a lot of literature on it. Some people call it Jezebel spirit.
Yes, sir.
There's actually like a spirit sometimes that'll even enter into a church.
Yes.
And you'll be like, one marriage, two marriage, three marriage, four marriage. Yes. All women taking these guys down.
Yes.
All women stepping out. So I just want to, can I just read this and let it speak for itself? I just want to read. I just want to let the Bible speak for itself. I'll put a couple of little comments in and then we'll finish. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. For the lips of a forbidden woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter wormwood. Wormwood is a Palestinian plant that is, by its nature, completely inedible. You cannot eat it. And even its absinthe, after being distilled, is undrinkable. So this is the best language that they could find in the Bible to say, curse. This woman is a straight curse. Sharp as a two-edged sword. Look at this. Her feet go down to death. Her steps follow the path to Sheol. This is a picture of her leading a young man to hell. Serious. She does not ponder the path of life. The way you can actually see this in a woman is that real life, like being a mom, being a wife, takes a back seat to this whole thing she's trying to relive in her childhood or something like that.
Yep.
This whole like, can I just be plain just for a second?
Bring it.
Okay. My wife says this like a lot of times, like if you see like, should I say it? Like, here's this wife who's like losing all this weight and everything and got all these new clothes and had her hair did and had her what you call it's did and had everything else did.
Uh-huh.
And she's got this new Instagram and this new Facebook and all that stuff. She's in conquer mode right now.
Yes, she is.
And if you have a friend like this, why don't you bring her in and say, sweetie, what's going on? How are you? Like, can we talk about why you're doing this? Can we just sit and just talk just as because I love you? Like, I think you might be on a path to hell.
That's right.
Say it to her. Like, I honestly think you might be on a path to Sheol. We laugh or whatever, but serious. I mean, it's that serious, you guys. I try to keep it light or whatever so that you don't throw tomatoes at me or not ever come back. I don't want to ruin the gospel for you, but straight up, this is serious stuff, man. I have seen so much devastation. Horrible. Kids in the balance. Husband in the balance. Church in the balance. From this spirit.
Yes.
Her ways wander. She doesn't know it. She's straight up lost. She needs you. She doesn't know where she'll end up. Ask her. Ask her. Where are you going with this, babe? Where are you going with it? She can't answer you. I don't know. She's lost. She don't know where she's going with it. She doesn't realize, like, I'm out to destroy this guy, this guy, this guy, and this guy. That's what she'll do. But she doesn't, I mean, she's like, I don't get it. And now, O sons, listen to me. Do not depart from the words of my mouth. Keep your way from her. Stay away from her. Stay away from her. And I'm talking about if a woman is married. Okay? And I will just say this. I will just say this. That we do not hold to the truth that if, for whatever reason, you have had a divorce, that you are, and you can throw rocks at this or whatever, you can leave the church over this, but we don't see you as still married.
Amen.
And that there is probably a relationship for you.
Amen.
Yes, right.
Okay? I'm talking about a person who's currently married.
Yeah.
Like, actually married, and don't pretend, oh, well, they're separated, this and no, they're married.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. No, they're married.
Right.
And you are getting played. So, oh, sons, listen to me. Do not depart from the words of my wisdom. Keep your way from her. Do not go over to her house.
That's right.
Do not go over to her house. Don't go to her house. That's where she'll trap you.
That's right.
If I were crude, I would say this is a biblical reference to a booty call.
That's it.
Do not respond to it. Lest you give your honor to others and your years to the merciless, lest strangers take their fill of your strength and your labors go to the house of a foreigner. And what this is inferring is that she is, look at all of your honor, all of your strength, everything you've worked for. She's after power. She comes, that's why, look at, no, just check it out. That's why she actually comes onto the boss. That's why she comes onto the popular guy. That's why she comes onto the rich guy. That's why she comes onto the pastor. Because she's bored with her nothing little husband. So she has to attach herself to power all the time. These are things I've observed under the sun. And at the end of your life, if you get mixed up with this lady, you will groan. Your flesh and your body are consumed, and you will say, how I hated discipline and my heart despised reproof. I hated that sermon that he preached on this. I did not listen to the voice of my teachers or incline my ear to my instructors. I am at the brink, but guess what? I'm at the brink of utter ruin in the assembly of the congregation.
Yes.
Bad news. She's bad news. She's bad news. She's bad news. But guess what? Even if you've gone there, even if your mind has gone there, it turns in verse 15. Watch this. I love this. I love this. Redemption. You know what you do in a place like that? You start drinking water from your own cistern. Okay? Flowing water from your own well. Should your springs be scattered abroad, streams of water in the streets? Let them be for yourself alone. Like I said, tell her, I don't get played like that. You love me, I love you. Alone.
Oh, that's right.
Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth. Remember, we talked about this. Start taking pleasure and enjoying your wife. And then I meditated for a long time on verse 19 this week. A lovely deer, a graceful doe, let her breasts fill you at all times with delight. I took that scripture to my wife and I said, the Lord has something to say to you, baby. Let's just open the Word of God. We need to open the Word of God. I've always taken Proverbs as literal. I need you to just open this up. Let's talk about what this means. I want to talk about what this means now. It's important. Favorite scripture.
Amen.
Life verse. Memory verse. Can I get an amen, gentlemen? Okay. This is the verse your dad gave to me as my memory verse. Okay, that got weird. I don't know. Sorry. Be intoxicated in her love. Come on. Why should you be intoxicated, my son, with a forbidden woman? You know what's really weird about that is as I was reading that, I was like, you know what? Typically, for you to be intoxicated by a forbidden woman, you got to get intoxicated to be with her. You know what I'm saying? That's not what this is saying. Like, for a man's ways are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths. The iniquities of the wicked ensnare him. Check this out, though. And he is held fast, not in the cords of her sin, but he's held fast in the cords of his sin. That's what it says. He dies for lack of discipline. And believe me, when a beautiful woman is coming on to you guys, whether she's married or not, it takes discipline to say, I ain't about that.
I know that's right.
It actually takes discipline where you're like, I know what I stand for. I know what I believe in. I know who I am. I know where I'm going. I know what I love. But because of our great folly, because of his great folly, because of his great folly and her great folly, but because of his great folly, he's led astray. This basically ends by saying it's not really just all her fault, gentlemen. But here's what I want to say. I want to show you guys how you can take the power back. take the power back to change this reality of the adulterous woman who's coming to kill you. If we as men could know what we stand for and what the heart of God is, I truly believe that we would actually relieve the pressure that is not just on us, but if these women that our society is telling, if you are hot, you can conquer any guy you want. If you conquer a man, you are powerful. Especially if you conquer a powerful man. So our society would tell a beautiful woman, beauty conquers powerful men, which make you powerful. That's garbage.
No, that's right.
If men, we stood for and knew what we stood for, if we want to stop the spread of powerless women, and I said powerless women, you can actually stop the spread of powerless women, because without the man, check it out, I'm almost done. Without the man being conquered, she is shown for what she is.
Yes.
Without the man being conquered, she's actually shown for what she is, which is a pig with a ring in her nose.
Yes.
So call her bluff. Mm-hmm. Don't go for it. Make her get her power from God.
Yes.
Not from your destruction. She has no power that comes from within and gives birth and makes something great. She actually only has power that is hung on her nose and destroys something great. Wouldn't it be nice if this woman goes fishing or snaring or fettering and her attractant causes her to pull up nothing? Wouldn't that be great?
Yep.
But it's going to take a commitment. It's going to take a commitment from all the men, especially in this house. A straight up commitment.
Yep.
That says something like, for the rest of my life, whether I've screwed up in this area or not, if a woman is married, she is forbidden.
Yes.
Can you make that commitment?
Yep.
Boy, it sure would save me a lot of work. It straight up would. That is what I deal with. I barely any parenting, barely any other stuff. It's this.
Wow.
It's this. He's stepping out. She's stepping out. He's stepping out with someone else who stepped out with this. It's like, what?
Yes.
And then they all, yeah. And then it gets really creepy. But anyway, here's the deal though. I'll just finish. I'm sorry. I told you I'd finish, but now I actually will. Before we go on a witch hunt, because that's really all I've done. I mean, partially what I've done is I've just been like, here's what to watch out for, and here's who you need to actually go ahead and see Victoria in the back, and we're going to pass you a torch and cover it in kerosene and light it up, and we're going to go out in the streets and we're going to look for the adulterous woman. That's not what I'm saying. Because here, I think probably all of us have someone in mind right now that we are tempted to hate. I mean, we've all been touched by this, haven't we?
Yep.
and we all have somebody in our mind that maybe, and some of you actually have somebody in your mind that you actually hate and you can't get over. Which is totally understandable, but I have to show you Jesus now.
Yes.
I have to show you Jesus now to actually set you free.
Yes.
Check it out. I'll just read it. Isaiah 53:1. Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, like a root out of dry ground. Watch. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by man, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men actually hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrow, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought all of us peace.
Yes.
Okay. And with his wounds, we are healed.
Yes.
Hey, before you get indignant and go on the witch hunt, read the next verse. We all, like sheep, have gone astray.
That's right.
We all have turned, every single one of us, to his own way. But the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Look, there's nothing attractive about Jesus, nothing to cause us to take a second look when he came to earth. He was looked down on, he was passed over. Because he wasn't beautiful?
Yes.
He was a man who suffered. He knew pain firsthand. One look at him and people turned away. We looked down on him. We thought he was average. We thought he was weak. But what he was trying to do is show us what real beauty was.
Yes.
We thought he brought the punishment that he was getting on himself. That God was punishing him for his own failures and his own weakness and his own ugliness. But it's simply not true. The fact is, it was our pains. You got to get this. It was our pains. It was our disfigurement. It was all the things wrong with us. It was our adulterous heart.
Yes.
Right. Right.
Speak, Lord.
That he was carrying. It was our sins that did that to him, that ripped and tore and crushed him. It's our ugliness. We all, like sheep, have gone and wandered off and gotten lost. We have all done our own thing, gone our own way, and it has gotten ugly. And it has gotten ridiculous, and it has gotten painful, and it has gotten chaotic. And this is saying that just all of this adds to what was piled up on Jesus. And guess what? Here's the truth, that he embraced the company of the lowest of the low.
Yes.
He took on his own shoulders the sin of the many. He took up the cause of the wanderer and the headstrong and the lonely and the powerless. And so the message is to us, hey, come on, I've said this before, but to all you screw-ups out there, hey, all you tramps out there, all you adulterers out there, all you who feel ugly out there, come and love this gospel with me.
I know that's right.
Come on. And the gospel is Jesus Christ taking up someone else's cause, especially to those who have destroyed everything around them.
Yes.
Jesus has taken up your cause to continue. And here's the cause he takes up. He continues to see something in you that you cannot see in yourself. He continues to see and preach to you your potential beauty.
Come on, yes.
I don't care if you're an adulterer or not.
Yes.
This is our Jesus. This is our God. This is our faith. It took his bruises to prove to us what he was seeing in us and looking to produce in us. He gets the pain, we get the freedom and the life. Come on. He gets death to prove to us that every single life is worth dying for.
Yes.
And he's raised to life to prove that he has what it takes to create something beautiful out of your life. And this, not hating the adulteress, not hating. This is the way, the truth, and the life. This is the way. And apart from this, there's nothing. So my admonition to you is, if you're the adulteress, the adulterer, if you got it on your mind, you got it on your heart, listen to the wisdom of God and repent.
Yes.
Yes.
This is the way. This is the truth. If you know somebody in your life who's going down this path, pull them in.
Yes.
Pull them in. Don't take out a torch and burn their hair off or nothing like that. Straight up, this is the love of God. Repent. Turn to him. Fall at his feet and enter into his rest. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. All right. I want you all to stand up. This is a benediction. It's not a sermon. It's not a prayer. It's simply a blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you, cause you to sense his smile and his love, and give you peace. Go in peace. Serve the Lord with joy. Thanks be to God. Amen.
God is moving in our cities. We hope that this message has blessed you, and we encourage you to share it with anyone. Feel free to make copies of this message, but please do not charge for those copies or change the content in any way. To keep the word on the street, partner with us and become a city light. All the information can be found online at heartofthecityak.com.